Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a big time guest. I always love this. Is my favorite. Like Mark Jones is dropping by. Look at Mark Jones. What's up, man? It's always good to have you in.
Always fun, man. Always love talking Kings and talking NBA and the bigger picture. And that morning after a much needed win is always the breakfast. My coffee always tastes a little bit better. The espresso always hits a little better. Everything's a little bit brighter outside. You know, it's all good, man.
That's right. You know, Mark, we walked into yesterday's game, and yesterday on the show, me and Kyle discussed it. The Kings were favored by a point and a half, and, you know, I know you're not a betting guy, but, like, when you're looking at that, you're thinking, okay, how is this possible? Like, the Houston Rockets have won, what, three in a row? They'd won, like, 9 out of 10 or something. They look like world beaters. They had the length and athleticism that the Kings just can't deal with. They were 3-0 against the Kings last season. All of these things stacked up. And then you saw the Kings come out and play with this different type of mentality, this different type of fire. Just how excited were you to see that, that this was a different brand? It was a brand in Kings basketball that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah. You know what, James, Jesse, I almost wish that we would face an opponent like Houston all the time, an opponent that's very, cantankerous, antagonistic, because it brought out the best in Sacramento last night, you know, with Houston's physical style of defense. They bump you off their cuts, they top lock, they get into your face, they face guard, they do everything that antagonizes an opponent that's trying to run their offense. And it forced the Kings to, you know, play at a higher level of intensity and, you know, their pace on offense. And we talk about pace, not just running the floor, but pace in the half court. You know, you saw it. They had to cut hard on those Canada cuts going through and those backdoor cuts and, you know, on those DHO actions. They had to run hard to get the ball because Houston was denying everything. And it was good to see the team respond to that kind of physicality in particular, you know.
There was expectations coming in this year about playoffs and hopefully top six and all that. Do you think this team is feeling any pressure right now given their start?
I don't think so, Jesse. I think that, you know, we've given away a couple too many already at home, but it's nothing that a 7-8 game win streak can't fix. You know, we saw what Milwaukee went through recently, and I had one of their games a couple of weeks ago. They were in the depths of it, and they were walking floors at night, and right now they're arguably the hottest team in the NBA. So, you know, when you look at the fact that Sacramento hasn't been whole for a lot of the season, we've had already, I think, 8 different starting lineups. I think Mike's going to ultimately figure it out. He's too good a coach not to. And this is a team that still has a good shot of finishing in the top six. And I think they will because we have too much, I think, offensive versatility. We saw that last night, not to be able to figure out. And if we can hang our hat on defense to the point where we're, you know, maybe top 12 or even top 15, that gives us a great shot to be one of those top six in the West.
We are joined by Mark Jones, legendary NBA voice, also a very nice Canadian man.
Dual citizenship has its benefits.
That's right. Mark, we have De'Aaron Fox's mom in the chat, which Lorraine drops by on occasion.
I love Lorraine. That's awesome.
One of the nicest ladies ever. Before you came on, I committed to Jesse that every pregame when they're at home, when I see De'Aaron Fox walk in the locker room as I'm walking out, I'm going to say something negative or kick him in the shin to make him angry. So he goes out and plays that fiery fox that we like to see.
I love it.
So
love
it. What I'm asking now is for your commitment that when I'm not there on the road and you are, can you take over and say something negative to De'Aaron?
It's a team effort, Mark. We all gotta chip in here.
We're gonna need
I'll do it for the team if you really need me to. I'll do it for the team. as long as De'Aaron can get past it afterwards and he knows that I'm just doing it for the team. Maybe it's like, you know what it is? I just thought about something, James, Jesse. Maybe it's not saying something. Maybe it's, you know how it is when someone steps on a brand new pair of kicks that you've taken out of the box?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a no-no.
Hey, maybe just one of those accidentally on purpose kind of step on his shoe without, you know, hurting his foot or anything, getting it dirty and getting him just irritated enough. So as he call, as I like to call it, he goes Black Air Force energy, you know, because there's that. The reason I say Black Air Force energy is always, if you know dudes that wear Black Air Force, they're a little different.
You leave them alone, Mark. You leave them alone.
Hey, you know, he might be playing pickup ball with an ankle bracelet on. You know what I mean? You just, hey.
Hey, Mark. Hey, look. You don't want to see me wearing, with these white legs, you do not want to see me wearing Black Air Force Ones. Just saying. Long socks, short socks, it doesn't matter.
That might stand out.
It might stand out.
Yeah, there's guys, there's a degree of Looney Tunes that goes along with wearing Black Air Force. So I love it when De'Aaron gets to that point, you know, and he got into that, you know, that jaw jacking with Dylan and with Jabari Smith Jr. with about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And I turned to Katie at the time and I said, you guys were at the game, obviously, probably didn't hear it. I said, Katie, De'Aaron has 5 points right now. He will for sure end up in double figures in this next 4.5 minutes, and because he's going to be mad. And he was pissed, and he went and did his thing. He went right to the elbow and got his little turnaround jump shot off the spin that he likes to execute. And when he gets to – see, but Mom, Lorraine, raised a really kind of cool young man. So that's who De'Aaron is at his core. That's his DNA. You know, that's the trick with a lot of the guys is finding that extra – level of intensity, whether it be through self-motivating yourself, something imaginary, make up a slight, maybe pretend that somebody said something to you, whatever it is. But when De'Aaron gets to that level of intensity, he's an all-NBA guard easily. You know,
this is your A from right now. Do you think we're seeing the best version of De'Aaron Fox so far in his career?
Yeah, I still think there's another level. And I think we can see it this year once the Kings get whole. Once, you know, Mike starts to have a roster that's healthy and gets a rotation set and De'Aaron has a chance to really pick his spots without, you know, having to wear too many hats, if that makes sense, you know? Because when he's a focus scorer, I mean, he's as dictatorial and as imperious and powerful as anyone out there going to the basket. And we've seen at the defensive end, the one sequence that, you know, the part of his game, Jesse, that I think is still developing is what he's doing defensively. We saw that one sequence where he picked somebody's pocket, took the ball and told him about it, and then brought the ball up court. And that to me was breathtaking because I love players that take pride in that end of the floor. And in today's NBA, there's not a lot of two-way guys that do that. And I think Fox can be one of the top.
Yeah, we're here with Mark Jones, legendary broadcaster, voice of the Kings, ESPN, a college football aficionado. I can't imagine what your next couple of weeks will look like with college football and Kings basketball. Mark, you know, there is that moment where he has like a switch that goes. Yeah. And again, I don't know how to find that every time because, you know, like he said last night after the game, he had a funny quote. He said, "When you say something to me, come along for the ride." And I thought that was like very profound. For me, it was like, hey, I'm going to need that. I need, you know, because I've known him since he was like a 19-year-old kid covering him. And he's always been brash and a little cocky. And I love it. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that side of his personality.
Yeah. There's not a player in the NBA that isn't elite that doesn't have that. Yeah.
And that's what you need, though. You need to see it every night. And I think we are seeing the consistency. We're also seeing what you're talking about, the defensive metrics, despite the Kings sort of falling down the, you know, the ranks in the defensive ratings and stuff. he's not. He's a guy who is playing out of his mind, and you can look at the three-point percentage against him. It's not like everybody else on that team. So I think there is a moment where, you know, again, maybe it's the max money deal that's sitting there that will motivate him. Maybe it's something else, but I just, the consistency of greatness, he's great, but I need to see it every single night.
Yeah. And I think right now it's just a matter of the team as a whole being able to settle into their respective roles, because I kind of sense that his role, like a lot of other guys in that starting unit especially, has morphed into something different from game to game, it feels like, with the eight different starting lineups we've had. But if it gets to a point, and I would love for it to get to a point, I think it will get to a point where De'Aaron just decides to, like how old is he? He's 27, right?
Yeah.
So his leadership voice is just really now developing, I think.
Actually, he'll be 27 on the 20th or the 21st.
Yeah, coming up this month, yeah.
Yeah, and the great Sean Cunningham have the same birthday.
Oh, there you go.
They do.
I remember Sean's, but not De'Aaron's. Yeah. But I think what we're seeing is his leadership voice beginning to develop a little more. We saw last night. I mean, he was communicating very strongly with his teammates and very commanding in the way that he was and demanding in the way that he was asking them to get to spots on the floor. And, I just love when they run that zoom action and get him going downhill to his strong hand. It's about as unstoppable a play as the Kings have in their playbook. And, just getting back briefly, James, to the defensive end of the floor, I remember when I spoke with De'Aaron earlier this season and I said, tell me about your defense, man. He says, hey, Mark. He goes, he looked at me and said, I'm not the guy you call up in a pick and roll, okay? I love that. And he was saying a lot of things in that. He said, basically he was telling me, hey, there's a lot of dudes that score 25, 30 a game in the NBA that couldn't guard a pylon. I'm not one of them. And I understood exactly where he was coming from. And he's 100% correct. And if, you know, this team, if we can stay in the top 15 in defensive rating, we're going to have a shot in the playoffs, because offensively we've got too many tools not to. I love, guys, what De'Aaron did, and this is an example of it. He showed great sovereignty over our offense yesterday. In the third quarter, whether it was him making the call or Jay Triano or Mike, they were very intentional about getting the basketball to DeMar DeRozan because they knew that they had to get him going. And they made a couple of calls to get him coming off those weak side pin downs, and a couple, I think they call it cross punch, where it's a cross screen for DeRozan. He comes across the lane, and they post him up, and it was cash. And you saw what he did in the third quarter. So that was a really good snapshot of what this team can be in terms of moving forward and even in the postseason.
You mentioned defense, and like I said, into the roles earlier. Keon Ellis got no minutes yesterday. Do you think he's back to being a situational role player, and does he need to be out there on the court for the Kings?
Man.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His defensive metrics usually grade out pretty well, and he makes Sacramento a better team when he's on the floor. I don't mean to list this as an excuse for the staff or Keon or anyone else, but things have been crazy lately, you know, and when we get through this next stretch, and it might be a while still, even until Trey Lyles gets back, who knows, but once they settle in, quote unquote, I think at some point we'll see a little bit more of Keon because, you know, his three-point shooting is too good not to have out there, especially with a team that's struggling right now from the three-point line. I think we're 23rd or 25th, somewhere in there, in three-point percentage. You know, I think he helps our pace as well. So there's going to be time and moments for him. And I just think that when you look at the roster, there's you know, with the way that Isaac Jones is developing and Jay Crowder's aboard, when we get whole, that lends to some pretty good versatility in our roster.
All right, you're listening to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We, of course, have Mark Jones, the spectacular voice of the Sacramento Kings, on with us. Mark, the Kings situation, I have no idea. Like, again, like De'Aaron Fox, I've, you know, been around him since he came in the league. Yeah. And he was very clear at practice this week that he feels like he's okay. Like, he's in a good place mentally. And then we watched him go out last night. And I don't care about the point total. He finished with 14 and 6, I think. A couple of blocks, a steal. But just the feel on the court was that Keegan Murray was back. And I don't know, like, how you keep that thing going and you keep his confidence up. I don't know if it's players putting their arm around him and, you know, having good conversations with him and not dark conversations. But where are you at with Keegan and sort of his development and his you know, potential to climb back up?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, his rookie year, guys, we saw him at 41% on his threes. Last year took a significant dip because obviously he was in the embryonic stages of becoming a two-way player, you know, getting all the number one options defensively from the opponent. And I think by the time it shakes out this year, we're going to see what the real Keegan Murray looks like in year three. And I think he's going to settle somewhere around 37-36% on his three-point shooting. Last night was a positive sign. You know, he is playing with great force, which is, you know, what will probably help him. He's dealt with shooting slumps before, you know, going back to his freshman year in college, and where he shot 28-27% on threes, and then his senior year he took off. But, you know, it comes down to you know, adjustments, a little self-scouting, self-diagnostic things in his game and with his shot. You know, I know that his father and Jawad do a great job in shooting him notes and getting him caught up to speed. His dad, you know, Kenyon, was his first coach and coached him right even through college on the side as a skills coach. And, you know, as long as he's got that wide base with his feet and he's playing with force and he's playing off 2 feet, I think that's one of the adjustments that that he might be making along this path. And we've seen examples of him going to the basket and being a real force, you know. So it's probably happening a little bit slower than most of us would like it to. But ultimately, Keegan has the perfect temperament and disposition to be able to get to where he wants to go ultimately. And I think he will. Like I said, I think by the end of the season, he'll end up 37% on his threes on decent volume and be doing a lot more than he was in his rookie year at the defensive end. And I mean, his offensive rebound has been found money for the Kings too.
Yesterday, like, Keegan played well. Kevin Herter made the most of his minutes and the team had some attitude, I think, and they kind of took the game to the Rockets. Do you think that could be the start of a turnaround? Because we saw them hit their threes too yesterday. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary from the Kings, I think. They just played a good NBA basketball game. Do you think this could be like the start of a turnaround?
Yeah, sometimes it takes the right antagonist to bring it out of you. And I think the Houston Rockets came along at the perfect time for the Kings yesterday. You know, when we were doing our crossover in the pregame show, I told Kyle and Mike Bibby and Katie and Morgan, I said, guys, mark it down. There's going to be a fight at some point tonight. There's going to be a little dust up. Hands might be thrown. And lo and behold, it happened with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. And Sacramento has, you know, Jay Crowder's in the mix now, so that adds to the edginess a little bit, which I think is great. You know, that kind of compensates for the lack of not having Trey Lyles on the floor, because Trey was a little bit of a strong man for us. But this could be that game last night could be a catalyst. I really think it was. I think they got a little bit of lightning in the bottle, and now they know what the formula could be looking forward. You know, there was nothing lucky about last night. They played great basketball.
No, I totally agree.
It's very repeatable too. You know, what they did on defense, what they did on offense. Very repeatable.
Yeah, energy, effort, and you got to execute. All right. We're joined by Mark Jones, the voice of the Sacramento Kings. Mark, I know you got to go catch a plane, but I want to ask you one more question on the way out the door here. Devin Carter, he's been working out for a couple of months here. He should be cleared sometime in January. I don't know if it'd be early or mid, whatever January. He's got to go back in and have that labrum looked at before he's cleared for full contact. What do you know of him? Because you seem to have, you know, that Miami vibe, and I know his dad played there forever. I know his dad was here in Sacramento when he was a kid as an assistant on the staff. How much do you think Devin Carter can impact this team when he is cleared?
Yeah, I think he will. He's fearless. I watched the kid at Doral Academy in high school and averaged over 30 a game. Fearless, like fearless at both ends of the floor. Scrappy. Watched him play as a senior in high school before he went off to college and was playing against pros, seasoned pros in the NBA players and overseas guys from Europe and more than handle his own against grown men at the time. So he's got a great feel for the game. I think he'll help our overall team defense. I mean, I think that's probably where he's going to have to earn Mike's trust at first and get on the floor that way, if and when there's a role for him there. But a pretty good three-point shooter, too. So, you know, one thing, James and Jesse, that you notice, if you look at what's happening league-wide, there seems to be an increased frequency of teams picking up full court. And I like that trend. And Devin Carter, that's the type of game he likes to play. He sees a pressure defense, in your face, run the floor type of player, and shoot threes when open, catch and shoot threes. So, you know, I can't wait to see him back on the floor. And he's got great basketball lineage. I covered his father, AC Anthony, when he was a player with the Heat, when he first broke into the summer league. And, you know, Devin's seen his dad's slow climb through the ranks from an unheralded player at Hawaii, and then with the Miami Heat, a free agent, caught on with the Heat and made a name for himself in the league. So he knows all about the grind and the struggle, and has embraced it through the years. And, you know, I think he'll thrive here in Sacramento.
Excellent. All right, that is the legend.
I tell you though, he was in that summer league. One summer league game I saw him in the Miami Pro League playing against grown men. He was wearing Versace shorts in one of the games. and the guy on the microphone gave him that nickname, like Versace Carter, Versace with the pull-up.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I hope I get to a point of life where I could wear Versace shorts playing pickup.
Well, I only wear...
It's summer league, you know?
You know, like that's like Kenny over here. Versace Kenny over here. Yeah. You're not catching me in those. You're not catching me in black Air Force Ones either.
Oh, yeah, no.
If you see me wearing black Air Force Ones and Versace shorts, something has gone horribly wrong.
You got black Air Force Ones on, James. I'm just leaving you alone that
That's
day.
Right.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Mark Jones, thank you so much for dropping by. Safe travels. You're on your way to the most beautiful NBA city in the league, Memphis.
The Bluff City, baby. The Grindhouse.
Good luck. It.
Gus's Fried Chicken never fails in Memphis, though. That's my first stop.
There it is. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for dropping by, Mark. Safe travels, and go kick De'Aaron Fox in the shin for us.
Yeah. I'll step on his shoes to get him mad or something. Maybe it'll be a new pair. Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks,
appreciate you, Mark.
Thanks, man.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.